This is Monty in the Morning, the show Phoenix Magazine readers voted number one talk radio show in Arizona.
Number one during your morning commute.
Number one whenever news breaks during your day.
And number one whenever and wherever you want to talk sports.
Now it's time for Monty in the Morning.
Hey, yo. Happy Friday, February 19th, 2021. Ted Cruz is back from Cancun, man.
He's back.
Congratulations to Ted Cruz on a really mediocre career.
Do you think he got travel reward points?
I'm going to guess he did. Back-to-back flights, hey, man. Although he did fly standby. I love how our society has become detectives. We'll talk about that in a minute. NBA All-Star starters, Carson Wentz still sucks.
It's your birthday, but you won't bring it up, so I'm bringing it up. Happy birthday.
And Jake got me Bitcoin for my birthday.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. He's broke. Make sure you hit subscribe on the old YouTube machine. So we could start with birthday if you want. I mean,
birthday.
Birthday. Are you a big celebrator of birthdays, or, I mean, I don't know, because I always, like, make your birthday some, like, huge deal.
Uh-huh.
So are you a big celebrator of birthdays, or what's
situation? I'm more the guy who, you know, well, during the pandemic anyway, I'm more the guy who just, like, makes a good dinner and, like, might have some drink and, you know, I don't know, just, like, a nice night in, I guess. But we've had some pretty epic birthday celebrations. In our past, I remember a time when, you know, we spent my 21st in Las Vegas and may have had one too many drinks at Mastro's.
Seven.
You know, but yeah, I mean, I think it just all depends on what you want to do on any given year.
Jesus, do you remember that?
It was amazing. It was amazing.
Holy cow, I was hammered.
Yeah.
I threw up all over myself.
That's cute. I remember when I had my first beer.
Dude.
It was legit. And you had to do the radio the next day.
Oh, my God. I was sick.
Not really sure how you got through that show.
I don't know either. I don't. Is that your best birthday memory? God, I hope not. Is that your best? That's probably your best birthday memory.
Yeah, I mean, it's the craziest for sure.
Yeah, we got crazy. And that's the thing about Mastro's in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, it is this different experience. You sit in the treehouse. You're at City Center, like, it's just this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And celebrating your 21st birthday in Vegas is unlike anything else that you're ever going to do. And so obviously the liquor goes down a little easier. The steak's a little on the rare side. you know, the mashed potatoes, jumbo prawns, it's all better.
Yep. Yeah.
It is all better. It was an amazing trip.
Yeah.
Not to mention we were there for the Las Vegas Bowl. I mean, it was just an incredible.
Yeah. Well, that's why I say, like, that's probably the best thing we've ever done.
What do you think the best gift you ever got for your birthday is?
I mean, because of the timing of my move, this year was pretty good. You know, TV and Alexa and, you know. This year for me was pretty good, but I don't know, man. When I was a kid, you got me like hockey pads, and that was like one of my favorite things ever. I really wanted those. That was like an all-time great thing as a kid.
You know, sports equipment always is. I remember when I was a kid, I got a fire truck.
Yeah.
On my birthday one year, like a Tonka fire truck.
Yeah.
Love that. You know, but as an adult, I don't. You know, I'm not big on getting gifts on my birthday. Like, I don't have any friends or anybody that cares about me, so I don't get gifts.
So, Leo, I got for your birthday last year. Was that 2 years ago? It was either last year or 2 years ago. I can't remember.
That's right.
I got you Leo, and then I went on a run, like, 3 years in a row where I was able to get you, like, super nice Jordans, like, retros.
The gray ones.
The gray ones, and then I got you two other pairs that I didn't come prepared with this on top of my head, but I've gotten you three pairs of Jordans and I just can't remember them all, but yeah.
You got me some Adidas Boost for
Ultra
Christmas
Boost.
1 year.
Yep.
Some Ultra Boost.
Yep. Which, by the way, once you have one pair, that's all you need.
That's all you need. Yeah. That's like Air Force Ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's why Ultra Boosts are always on sale.
Yeah.
You don't buy them when they first come out. You know, they're not Yeezys.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think I think we've been some, we've done some cool things. We've gone to Vegas for my birthday. Once I think we went to Vegas for my birthday when we lived in LA. But you know, really a lot of times we were snowboarding the last few years or
yeah.
It's the memories you make, not the gifts you get.
Yeah.
You know, like I still think of my childhood, that Tonka fire truck represented a huge part. Like I painted that thing. Like,
did you really?
I had a love affair with that. I cut the shit out of my hand on it. I'll never. Oh my God. I bled everywhere on that fire truck.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But I just remember that fire truck's the best gift I ever got.
Yeah, and that's what it's about, you know?
Yeah, boy, we had some memories playing hockey on the driveway.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Whew.
And in the backyard with wiffle ball.
Oh, my God. In Northbrook, when we lived in Northbrook,
yep.
Illinois, I had a huge backyard. And we used to play fast-pitch wiffle ball. And Jake is like 10 years old, and he's convinced that he can beat me. So, of course, you know, I had to flex on him and hit one over the house.
After hitting me in the face.
Well, that was an intentional accident. It was an intentional accident. It happened. But
right.
Yeah, we had some really Isn't that that's a great thing about sports? Though.
Yeah, you remember.
Yeah, you have memories. You know, like me dunking on you last Sunday. We'll never forget that.
Yeah.
So
right. I get it.
You know.
I get.
Yeah,
it.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to do a birthday dinner this weekend.
Yeah, we gotta do something. We can't do nothing.
I have no idea what I would want for. I'm really kind of off red meat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done with it.
I know.
What do you mean?
The veganism has gotten to you.
No, not at all. I still eat chicken and pork. I had amazing pork chops this week.
Those were really good.
Yeah, I mean, fire. Yeah. And leftover pork chops are even better. Leftover, my wife makes an incredible tortilla soup. We had leftover tortilla soup last night. Incredible. I mean, that boho is breathing fire. probably TMI, but it's my birthday. I can say what I want.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is,
yeah,
I don't know what I'll eat. You know, maybe we'll do an,
we'll
a,
have to come up
a
with
a
something.
Strip. Maybe we'll,
you know, you know. I mean, we could certainly do like, you know, something that's been sounding really good to me lately is like a chicken and biscuits dish with like potatoes or something.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds amazing to me, but it's not my birthday, but that's
yeah,
just what's
I mean,
on my mind.
You know, I'm open to it. I'm open to it. All right, let's talk some NBA hoop. The Jazz are without Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell in the NBA All-Star game. And when you look at the starters, there's a lot of people wondering if LeBron should be a starter.
Mm-hmm.
If Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, should be a starter.
Right.
This is not like quality. It's a popularity contest.
Yeah.
People need to understand that. And this is what's not going to sit well with a lot of people. LeBron's a starter because he plays for the Lakers.
Yep.
Steph's a starter because he is wildly popular.
Yep.
Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell play in Utah, and they have not rightfully earned an All-Star start.
Yeah.
Because
by popularity,
you're not going to beat San Francisco. You're not going to beat Los Angeles. You're not going to beat Portland. You're not going to beat Chicago. You're not going to beat Milwaukee. Like,
yeah.
Those guys winning those votes in the East and the Western Conference are doing it in major markets.
Yep.
But if I said to you, hey, look at the talent that is on the Western Conference All-Star starters.
Yeah.
Do Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert belong there?
I don't personally think so. You know, I look at, I look at Jokic being a starter and I say, yeah, you know. In my opinion, Jokic is a better player, number one. But number two, he's a more popular player. I think I look at Luka, and that's the guy where I'm like, not really sure he should be starting this year. You know, he hasn't really had a great first half. He is a great player, but it hasn't been a great year for him, whereas Donovan's having a great year. So if I had to pick one guy where I could say or try to make a case, Luka would be that one guy. You know, just because he's just meh. Like, it's not like there's nothing that I can hold on to with Luka, you know? And I think Donovan has played really well. I mean, and this is the thing that really should be frustrating for Jazz fans. Even when Rudy and Donovan are putting up huge numbers, what are they, 20-5 now? I think they are overall. Like, you know, they're having a great season. That doesn't mean that you're going to be an all-star starter.
And this is why I mentioned Portland.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard should be there over
Damian Lillard should be starting.
Donovan Mitchell and Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
I just, like, with all due respect, I mean, Luka's a superstar, talent-wise. But, I mean, compare Luka and Dame. Like,
I would take Dame all day. I would.
But based on what?
Based on the fact that I think Dame is more clutch. He's done it time and time again. I think Dame is the second best point guard in the West behind Steph. I think that Dame has been, and this is kind of a smaller minutia detail, but I think the loyalty piece, especially in today's game, I think you can add that to his resume. It's not a reason why he should be a starter, certainly, but I think when you say, hey, this guy's played his entire career for one team so far, and he's been trying to get them over the hump year after year after year, I think that adds to his case, you know? But overall, I think Dame's a better player. I think he can do more for you. I think he's a more consistent player. And by the way, I don't see him crying on the sideline when they lose, you know? He's the guy that's trying to come, you know, bring them back. You know, that's the way he goes. Whereas I really hate that I see Luka on the sideline all the time at the end of games, literally, like, they're not running down his face, but his eyes are watery. Like,
every single night.
And then he's the guy that's going to bitch about fouls and not getting fouls and like that, like every play, you know? And I know that in the NBA, a lot of guys complain and Dame has his fair share, but there's levels to it, you know? Guys like Harden, guys like Luka, guys like LeBron, they're always complaining, you know, always. And that's a turnoff for me. So, yeah, I would take Dame over Luka. In terms of Donovan, I think Donovan has a case. But I think, again, this is why you got to get to the finals. You need the exposure desperately.
Yeah, I think if the Jazz go to the NBA finals, their popularity skyrockets.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Karl Malone and John Stockton, the profile that they had.
Yeah.
What would that profile be like today? It'd be exponentially higher with social media and with more TV exposure and the way that the interwebs have exploded since the days of Stockton and Malone. I think
Twitter's been going crazy.
I mean, it would be already with a Ted Cruz drop. you would have a lot more exposure for the Jazz, and I think that's what Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert are struggling with now. Let's truth tell on Rudy Gobert, and I know that this is going to piss Jazz fans off because it always does, and I don't mean to do that. Rudy Gobert is not worthy of being an all-star starter. I'm not sure that he is a real compelling player on any level across this league.
Those statements are not true, and I ask that you strike them.
Well, look, Senator, I get it, man, but tell me that Rudy Gobert has mass appeal across the NBA.
Oh, he doesn't. I don't think your average NBA fan knows who Rudy Gobert is. Like, if you asked an East Coast NBA fan, hey, do you know who Rudy Gobert is? Like, do you ever watch him? I don't think they would say yes. I think they would say, yeah, I've heard of him, but I don't really know him. I don't watch him, you know? Certainly, I don't know what he brings to the table or what his game is like, you know? You ask a West Coast fan, yeah, they'll probably know more about it because they watch him more, you know? But I don't think that... And this is really where things kind of get real for Rudy. I don't think if you put Rudy on every single team in the league, he's the same player that he is with the Jazz.
No.
You know?
No.
And that's why I say I don't even think that Rudy should be an all-star starter. I'm serious. I don't think
he
should be.
I don't even, again, I'm trying to be gentle. I don't know that it's even a controversy that he's not. Donovan Mitchell has a real case.
Yeah.
I think this idea that it's a popularity contest needs to be embraced.
Yeah.
Because it should be Luka or Dame. It should be Donovan or Dame.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be Luka Doncic. Yeah. I mean, that's a popularity contest. He's only an all-star starter because he plays in Dallas and they have a larger fan base.
Yep.
That's what this is about. And again, that's why I brought up Portland earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Dame is a guy who is capable of pulling that kind of vote.
Yeah, Dame has a brand. Dame is known. Like, Dame, like, you can ask any NBA fan and they'll know Dame time. They'll know him and his story. But at the same time, you still play in Portland, you know? You're still, again, that's another team just like the Jazz. They're essentially the same team as the Jazz almost in the sense that, you know, they make the playoffs, but they never get to the finals. They can never get to the Western Conference Finals even, you know? So that's why I say, like, at some point, these guys got to go out and do something because where you really start picking up notoriety, if you will, as an NBA player who's in a smaller market is when you get deeper into the postseason, when you're playing for Western Conference Finals and you're on ABC and, you know, you're on national television. You can't be missed. You're on national television in prime time. You can't be missed. So that's what needs to happen, and it's not happening right now.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how Jazz fans react to that, because I think if I'm a Jazz fan, I do feel slighted. And I think, obviously, there's a lot of emotion in that, and there's obviously a lot of frustration in that, and I totally get it. But this is what is so difficult for Jazz fans to digest. And it is very simply that Jokic is a better player than Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
He is more of an all-around player. Offensively, it's not even a conversation. Passing, it's not even a conversation. Defensively, is Rudy more of a weapon defensively? Yes, I would I would think so. But this is not a defensive league. It's an offensive league.
Yeah.
And if you look at what, on a nightly basis, Jokic brings to the yard, it's a lot more than Rudy Gobert. And the real conversation is, Jazz fans want to say, oh, well, we shoot threes. We're the best three-point shooting team in the league. That's why we belong amongst the, you know, the conversation of the best teams in the league. Okay, well, Rudy Gobert doesn't shoot threes. Rudy Gobert isn't really an offensive force. So you can't have your, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too, right? Yeah. That, which is what you want to do with Rudy Gobert in this conversation. And I just don't think you can do that.
Yeah, Rudy doesn't shoot the basketball. That's just not what he is, his role is or what his game is. I mean, and I say this pretty consistently on the show, like, if you watch Jazz basketball and you watch five possessions in a row of just watch Rudy Gobert, don't watch the rest of the guys, what happens is Rudy will come down from the defensive end, he will run down to the offensive end, he will then wait for the offense to get in its place, he will then run up to the top of the key, set some picks, and then he winds up fading either to the right or the left side of the paint. And he's just offset waiting for something to happen so he can go and rebound. That's what he does.
He will rim run.
Yeah, and I don't, I'm not sitting here saying that is a problem or criticizing him. I'm telling you that's his game.
It's just that's just a fact.
Yeah,
that's
like
just
that's
what
just
does.
What he does. Yeah. Whereas Jokic is giving you 50 a night on some nights, and he's also giving you the rebounding and the defense and all that. So he's a better player.
And the other part is that Nikola Jokic is evolving. He is growing as an offensive player. I think this is who Rudy Gobert is going to be. He can give you, within 3 feet, he can give you a little baby hook. He can get you a layup, and obviously he can dunk. Rudy Gobert is an offensive player, is a cleanup player, and there's real value in that in this league. But that's not in the last 5 minutes of a quarter, a half, or a game, because he gets lost in those moments. Tonight is a huge night for the Jazz. If Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, who has very long fingers that are phallic in nature, if Paul George and Kawhi Leonard play tonight and they are questionable, they have been upgraded to questionable, I have to think that Paul George plays. I mean, the swelling in his bone marrow apparently has gone down. It's the craziest diagnosis I've ever heard.
Dude.
Seriously, that's what Paul George's injury was.
I don't get it, dude. Like,
swollen bone marrow. That's crazy. They say that he is recovered from that and that he should be good to go. I think the Jazz have been very fortunate that they've run into a lot of teams who are not at 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat the Clippers the other night with the Jazz playing not their typical style of basketball. They had an off-night shooting. They just didn't play well. If Kawhi Leonard and or Paul George play in that game, Clippers probably win that game.
Yeah.
But they didn't, and the Jazz did.
Yep.
The Jazz were fortunate that the Clippers were not at 100%. I also think the fourth quarter, the Jazz dominated.
Yeah, and so, I think the thing here is that I'm not comfortable saying that, and I'm not insinuating that you said this, but just overall, generally speaking, I'm not comfortable saying that the Jazz have gotten lucky or that they're lucky to be at 20-5.
Oh, no, they've been fortunate with some of the circumstances around the teams that they have played.
I agree. I think that it definitely has helped, and it's made their life a bit easier that some of these teams have had, you know, not star players playing, you know? And again, the Jazz can only play who's in front of them, right? It's not their fault that these teams have injuries,
no,
but at the same time, when I look at the 20-5 record, or, you know, where they're right around there, when I look at that record, I say, okay, well,
24 and 5.
My bad. Yeah, 24-5. So, you know, you look at that record and you say, okay, well, you know, okay, so the Clippers fully healthy win that game the other night. I don't have any doubt about that. Based on the way the game went and how everything unfolded, I think the Clippers win that game. Okay, 23 wins.
Look at the Philly win.
Then I look at the Philly win.
No,
and I
Joel Embiid.
Then I say, hey, if Joel plays in that game, I would say that they lose
134-123.
I mean, that's a pretty close game without Joel.
You gave up 123 points without their best player.
Yeah.
And I look, the Jazz have earned their record. They're the best team in the NBA. I don't have any doubt about that. What I'm saying is I really hope that we run into a Clipper team tonight that is at full force, because I want the Jazz to win that game against the Clippers at 100%.
Yeah, and I think we need to see that. We need to see the Jazz play teams that are fully healthy, so there's no excuses, and we truly do get a benchmark of who this team is. I need to see what the Jazz can do defensively against a Clippers roster or a Lakers roster or whatever roster that has all their stars playing. That's all I want to see.
Well, and Bradley says, you guys always pick on the Jazz. You're such haters. That's two games. They've beaten a lot of good teams. Name me another. Well, I would go back to the Atlanta Hawk game, right? When you look at, and again, I'm not slighting the Jazz, and I know this always comes off like that, but, you know, did Trae Young play against the Jazz? No, he did not. You know, the Hawks' leading scorer that night was Collins, who scored 17 points. Which is fine. Like, Danilo Gallinari scores 5 points in that game. You know, Tony Snell scores 12 points in that game.
Yeah.
You know, I just, all I'm saying is the Jazz have earned their record. There is no doubt about that. They have been very fortunate with the opponents they've run into at the time they've run into them. You're going to run into, hopefully, a Hornets team on, what is that, Monday night?
Mm-hmm.
Who's not going to have played. I mean, I'd love to see the Hornets play tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But they're in COVID protocol, so nobody is sure if they're playing tonight. We'll see about that. I mean, the Jazz and Hornets play here in Salt Lake on Monday. The Lakers come in on Wednesday. They're not going to have Anthony Davis in that game.
And that's the thing. Like, I think that Jazz fans get upset when we talk about this, because they're like, oh, well, you know, you're such haters, and, you know, you guys always pick on the Jazz. Okay, I get why he says that. But at the same time, this is what's presented to us. This is what we're looking at. Go and look at the schedule. Go and look at the teams they've played.
Yeah.
It is literally the reality of what they've done. So, like, seriously, ponder this question. Take your Jazz fandom out of it. Take all the bias out of it, and just genuinely ask the question. Hey, if the Clippers were 100% healthy, what's the outcome of that game the other night? If Philly was 100% healthy, what's the outcome of that game last night? Right? Like, the Denver win on January 31st, that's a good win. That's a good win.
Yes.
That's a quality win, right? But overall, I get a little worn out on Jazz fans being like, well, you guys just, hello?
Yeah, my phone's making noise all of a sudden. I don't know why. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry about that.
No, I just get burned out on Jazz fans being like, well, you guys just pick on the Jazz. No, dude, we don't just pick on the Jazz. What we pick on is Rudy Gobert not developing an offensive jump shot on any level, like not that's just not in his game, and it really hurts the Jazz against the elite teams in the West. And,
yeah.
And that's, I don't think there's anything wrong with that conversation.
Well, and I also think that what I find interesting for Rudy as well is that you find situations where Rudy goes up against a lot of attacking players that are smaller than him. Like, I would go back to those Pelican matchups. You know, one of those games, Rudy, that night that Zion had a big night, and that was back-to-back games.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to go back and look at that box, but I'm pretty sure Rudy had like a 10-point or 12-point, 11-rebound game, you know, because Zion's attacking. Now, I think the next night, Rudy had a big night. But I also think you saw something, and I know Jazz fans got all pissed off the other day when I said this. What did Ben Simmons do early in that game? Ben Simmons attacked the rim. He attacked Rudy Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Rudy has a tough matchup when that happens.
Yeah.
And I think it is very interesting to see how teams go at Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
Much to your point, when are we going to see a team that's going to try and take Rudy out of that game early? And they're doing that because they want to get Rudy Gobert in foul trouble.
Yeah.
Now, he's been very smart, I think.
He has.
And he's kept himself on the floor. I'll be interested to see if he's able to do that, because if you look at what they have down the stretch here, they have a lot of games where they're going to get attacked.
But here's the thing. This is what I am concerned about. And I know I talk about the Nuggets all the time when we talk Jazz.
Yes.
But I go back, just looking back, just to appease this Jazz fan that's all pissed off, right? I go back to the January 31st game against the Nuggets. What's the headline of that game? Jokic has 47 points. Nuggets end Jazz streak at 11.
Yeah.
47 for Jokic in that game, right? And that's Rudy's matchup. So then, you know, you go just going again up and down the Jazz schedule here, and I just say, okay, well, I'm looking at the Minnesota game, right, on December 26th. Now, early in the year, totally get it. Okay, great, right? But what does it say? Like, it says Cat had a big game, and that's and my point just is, hey, mobile big men versus this team are a problem. I'm telling you, later this year, when we're battling for postseason position, to what you were just talking about, I guarantee you teams will go after Rudy Gobert. Guaranteed. Because if Rudy's off the floor, then you're dealing with Derek Favors. Then you go back to a more traditional matchup where you can just get him out of the way and pick and roll, and he's not long enough to recover from that. And that, I think, is what teams want.
Yeah, I think it is, and it's funny, I'm messaging actually on LinkedIn with a Jazz fan.
Damn, on LinkedIn. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's not hard to find me, man. And Michael says, it's not that you guys are haters. Jazz fans have always been super sensitive. We've always felt like we're second. We're never as good as the Lakers. We're never as popular as Steph in the Warriors. And it's frustrating. And he sends me another message that says, Rudy Gobert is the best center in the NBA in an era where there's no such thing as a best center in the NBA.
I can't agree with that, bud, but yeah, I understand what you're saying.
What do you mean?
I can't agree with Rudy Gobert as the best center in the league. Can't agree with that.
I think he's one of them.
Yeah, he's one of them.
I mean, he's
there. Sure,
like,
he's
okay,
in the group.
Who's the best center in the NBA?
I think Jokic is the best center.
It'd have to be Jokic.
I think Karl Anthony Towns is in the conversation.
Yeah, but injuries and inconsistency have really hurt him.
Yeah, that's true. I don't
disagree
with that.
I think he's faded.
Yeah.
I think he's faded now. You know, if you're looking at big men, I think obviously Joel's got to be there.
Mm-hmm. I think if Porzingis has had major injuries, but I think he's on the way
back.
He'll
never be a center. He'll always be a four. That's why I think they want Andre Drummond.
Yeah.
So that he can play that 3-4. You know, and the way this league is gone now, there's just such a mix of different talent. Like, it's what the Clippers did the other night against the Jazz.
Huh.
The Clippers didn't have their best players, Longfinger and PG. well, it's true. Longfingers and Paul George.
Longfingers.
Right? They didn't have Kawhi and PG,
mm-hmm.
So they went small.
Mm-hmm.
It was really effective.
Here's the game plan.
We're going small,
mm-hmm.
right? And Lou Williams and, you know, that whole group of guys were really effective.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see what the Clippers are like, and will they stay small?
Let me ask
because
this.
A guy like, look at Zubats.
Yeah, yeah.
Zubats
yeah.
didn't really have a place in that game.
Mm-hmm. And he had trouble. But I think this is the question, one of the last questions I would ask to Jazz fans listening to the show right now. Do you say, hey, Rudy's the best center in the league? In a time when there's no centers in the league, as kind of like a crutch to keep him relevant. Because if we were to, let's look at it this way. Let's say that we went ahead and
but
said,
is he not is Rudy but, Gobert irrelevant?
But hear me out. In the league right now today, Jazz fans are totally right, and we've talked about this. You don't have centers anymore. You just have bigs, and you've got regular players, right? It's big man versus point guard or whatever, someone who's not a big.
Right.
So if we were to couch the question of, hey, is Rudy one of the best bigs in the league? Is he a top five big in the league? I think that totally changes the conversation because I think he's right in that mix somewhere. But I think you can make a case for all these other guys. You know, when you're comparing them to AD and Jokic and like all these guys who are bigs but not centers.
Giannis
it.
Giannis or Gobert?
I would take Giannis. I would totally take Giannis because neither of them can shoot, and Giannis is way more athletic.
Giannis is going to give you 30.
Yeah.
Average night, he's probably going to give you 20.
Yeah.
And he's just as good a defender as Gobert is.
Mm. And he's got the transition game.
And I still think he's incredibly overrated.
Agreed. I totally agree.
I think Giannis is way overrated. Joel's the best center in the East.
Yeah.
Right? Rudy and Giannis are probably not a good comparison. Giannis, in my opinion, is much more of a four.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like, there's not a whole lot of centers I would take. Now, if you want to talk power forwards,
Adebayo.
There's a lot of value in Bam.
Yeah.
I mean, the way he is playing, I think he's on the verge of, I mean, he's in my opinion, he's easily one of the top five bigs in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fours and fives.
Yeah, he is. He's very versatile.
Porzingis is not.
No, injuries really hurt him, man.
You know, who's I look at Anthony Davis.
He's probably the best.
I think Anthony Davis is the best big in the league.
But injuries.
Well, now he's got this calf Achilles thing.
All I want out of Rudy Gobert is just a basic baseline jumper. That's all I want to see him develop, and I don't think it'll ever happen. Literally.
It's not who he is.
If he would just give me an elbow jumper, that's it. We don't need you to be shooting threes and doing what the Lopez brothers do.
If Rudy Gobert will just make 70-something percent of his free throws,
yeah,
he is more than a serviceable offensive player.
Yeah.
The problem is, his free throw shooting's gotten much better this year, there's no question. But early in the year, that's where they were really struggling with how to integrate him consistently. And I think it's why you see nights where he plays 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very difficult if Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are able tonight, they're going to have a lot of trouble playing Rudy Gobert 35 minutes.
Yep.
That's just not going to be possible.
And I do think before we leave this conversation, we should be giving Quinn Snyder a lot of credit for managing this team, because he did, for those of you who are under a rock and didn't hear, he is the Western Conference All-Star head coach this year.
Yes.
And I think he deserves a lot of credit. I think he's done a hell of a job. And not just because they're 24-5. More what I'm speaking on is managing Rudy and like the matchups and putting the Jazz in a good position to win games. So,
yeah, it'll be interesting. I look at a couple other things around the league and – I am amazed at how bad the Lakers are without Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say bad, are they still a top five team in the NBA without Anthony Davis? They are. They're not a championship caliber team without him.
Yeah.
And I think that we're starting to see that LeBron can carry a lot of the load. Yeah. He cannot carry all of the load.
No.
And I don't know what they do. I mean, they're another team that if I'm the Lakers, I'm trying to get Andre Drummond.
Yeah.
Because you've got to find somebody who can be more athletic than Marc Gasol is. And I understand we put a huge premium. I get that. But how much did they miss Dennis Schroeder last night?
Yeah, a lot.
I mean,
That's a team that their role players play are so important to them. And you know, obviously that's the definition of a role player, right? Like, they do one thing, but they're supposed to do it really well. Guys like Schroeder and all those other guys that are role players on that team, like, those guys play just a massive role for the Lakers, because you're right. LeBron's not able to carry the whole team anymore to a championship. The league is just too good. He's got a lot of miles, but he's still a hell of a player. Like, he's still one of the best players in the world.
He put up 32 points last night.
Yeah, but like, there's a difference between putting up 32 points and pulling your own weight versus carrying the club when AD's out, you know, and he's just not there.
You know what? They need Kyle Kuzma to be a 20-point guy.
He's just – I don't know when Kyle Kuzma is going to take the next step. When is Kyle Kuzma going to be – what they really need him to be is like their Lou Williams. They need him to put the ball in the hole when he gets the ball. Simple as that. And he doesn't do it.
Yeah, he is – Kyle Kuzma is a bit of an enigma. I mean, I think he's real mercurial. He's that new age young basketball player that doesn't say a whole lot. If you look at the bright young stars in this league,
mm-hmm.
Luka doesn't say a whole lot.
Ja
Trey Young
lot.
Doesn't say a whole lot.
Ja talks a bunch of crap on the floor, but he doesn't say a lot.
Yeah, but where is he? Real boisterous guys off
Devin
the floor.
Devin Booker doesn't say a lot off the floor.
At all. You never hear from Devin.
Nope. Jason Tatum doesn't say a lot off the floor.
That's who the new guys in the – Jason Tatum's a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Tatum is a killer, but not often enough.
You feel like LaMelo Ball says a lot? Or was that just his past?
I don't know yet. He's too young. Yeah. And you know the interesting thing about the Hornets? You don't miss them when they're not playing. But man, you love watching them win the
Open. Love watching them play.
You know, and honestly, I know that sounds like a crazy thing to say, but like you miss Kevin Durant when he's not playing. Like watching the Nets game last night, you know, was like pulling teeth because my wife hates NBA basketball. Like she does not enjoy watching it at all. So, you know, flipping back and forth, you know, what did we, she forced me to watch some Netflix show that I can't remember the name of. Like, come on. Man, you know, just like she is emasculating me with Netflix right now.
I personally would like an apology.
Yeah, I would like an apology. And then we had to watch Finding Your Roots, the DNA show, you know, which is okay. That show's interesting. I want my Laker basketball, right? And so
I want it.
She has no desire. She's like, oh, we're going to turn on basketball. All right, I'm going to go upstairs and get ready for bed. And, yeah, you want, you know, you want to sip from the cup, you should probably turn that off and come upstairs. Right? I mean, that's essentially how my life goes now. You know, we watch chick flicks and then we, you know, yeah.
Right.
Anyway, the point is, right. You miss Kevin Durant when you watch the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you do. You miss AD when you watch the Lakers.
Yeah.
You don't miss LaMelo Ball when he's not playing. Yeah. You don't miss the Hornets when they're not playing.
He's not quite there yet. You're right.
You
yeah.
know, like, I mean, I think he's a star now.
He will be.
I think there's a real good chance he's an all-star.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't happen at all because they shouldn't be playing that game. But you know the team that's really interesting right now? Like, what is wrong with the Sacramento Kings?
They play in Sacramento. They're irrelevant.
Well, they're young and they just – when does that team win consistently?
Yeah, I don't know, man. They got a lot of talent, and they've got a lot of talent, but it just seems like they don't have enough. Yet another team that is really entertaining to watch. You know, you've got Buddy Hield, you've got De'Aaron. I mean, you've got Halliburton. You know, you've got talent, but you just don't have enough talent to win consistently.
Yeah, it's not a I guess that's the right way to say it.
You don't have the core guy that brings everyone together, that everyone plays around. You know, like De'Aaron. You know, is the guy that, you know, takes the clutch shots and everything, but that's not who he typically would be.
I wish I understood what was the, you know, and I covered that team from 2005 to 2006,
mm-hmm.
or 2003 to 2006. And I mean, as soon as Chris Webber got hurt, that team went away.
Yeah.
You know, like it just, that night in Dallas, the fortunes of that franchise changed.
And I feel like their brand as an organization used to be like this gritty ass team that wanted to kick your ass, and now they're just they don't really have a brand. They don't really, like, if you ask me, like, what's the Kings' identity? I don't know. I mean, they're just a team.
I don't know. You know, they, like, everybody got excited when Vivek bought that team, and it just is never, they've never been able to take that next step forward. Everybody then got excited when they got the new arena, and they still haven't been able to take that next step forward. And everybody got excited with Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox and now Halliburton. And they're still not taking that next step forward.
Yeah.
And I know they're incredibly young, but at what point do they mature? Because when you're an NBA superstar, you're an NBA superstar right out of the gate. You know, like
LaMelo Ball.
LaMelo Ball.
Zion.
Yeah, Zion. Zion Schmayan. I'm still not a Zion guy.
Ja Morant.
Ja Morant for sure. Jason Tatum for sure.
Luka.
Luka for sure.
Trae Young.
For sure. Like, you look at all these guys and you just know right out of the gate, the Jordans, the LeBrons, the, you know, think back to, you know, Kobe missed all those threes, oddly enough, in Charlotte.
Yeah.
But you knew he was a guy right out of the gate. Shaq dominated right out of the gate. Dwayne Wade dominated right out of the gate. Larry, Magic, like Magic starting at center. You know, like winning an NBA championship right out of the gate. Like, you know the goods when you see it. And I don't know. Do they have a superstar on the Sacramento Kings?
No, not yet. Not yet. De'Aaron's trying, but not yet.
I mean, Buddy can shoot.
You can't, you're not, you can't just be a shooter though.
Yeah. I don't know what's wrong with that team. You know, they just should be better. And it's not Luke Walton's fault. You know, they were talking about this on the NBA on TNT postgame show last night. Like, they fired 1,000 coaches. They've tried every different philosophy. It's not the coach.
Yeah. They're bad at basketballing.
I don't get that because you have a new owner. You know, you have new management.
Well, new doesn't mean better. I mean, this is what we've seen in Phoenix for so long.
Well,
right.
But you have ownership has gotten you this brand new arena.
Mm-hmm.
They've injected new energy into that city.
And the Jazz are better.
And they
just not quite good enough.
Jazz are in the same boat.
oh, yeah, the Jazz are, you know, it's...
That's why, yeah. And I don't mean to belabor this point. We're going to get on to Carson Wentz real quick here in a second. But that's why it matters when you lose to the Nuggets last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it matters when you can't have Rudy on the floor in the last 5 minutes of a game.
Yeah.
I'm tired of being good. I want to be great.
Yeah, and I think that's where Jazz fans are too. And this is what I'm saying. Like, I understand it pisses you guys off, but at the end of the day, you know, again, I'm just telling you, mark my words, the Nuggets are a problem for this team. They are a problem. The Nuggets are a problem, and until you get over that hump, you can't really talk about getting to the Western Conference Finals, man. You just can't.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
It'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing. Ooh, look at that. That's clean, bro.
Damn.
That is clean. There's a new Air Jordan 1 low out. I don't know if you guys can see it or not. It's like the
Bumblebee colorway.
The gold one low is fire. Like, that shoe right there is fire. I like that a lot. But hey, whatever. Anyway, let's talk about the NFL after you hit the subscribe button on YouTube. Just search The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. You can also find us at themontyshow.com. Am I buying that shoe?
Out of stock.
Not for me, it's not.
Must be nice.
Well, you know, pimp's going to pimp.
Well, it is your birthday.
It is my birthday, by the way. My wife is going to have an aneurysm. I must have 57 pairs of shoes on the way. You know what's really funny? And I promise you we're going to talk NFL. I've been really introspective this week. I've had a really shitty week at work. I've had an incredible week in my personal life. My wife's amazing. You know, like, I get to work next to her every day. Like, I have this really good thing going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's so funny. Like, I'm like, God damn, dude, you're 48 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's time to get on with getting on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, frankly, I'm not bragging. I'm just, we're in the best position I think we've ever been in.
Right.
Right. A lot of people, I would dare say a lot of people laughed at us when we sold our house in Phoenix. A lot of people thought, you know, that it was crazy. And what are you doing? And mm-hmm. what are you thinking? And well, I'm thinking I want to be rich. Yeah. You know what? Like, I am. Globally speaking, I've pretty regularly been in the top 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on the fact that, you know, if you make a certain level of money, if you have a job, if you make minimum wage, you're in the top 1% globally.
Uh-huh.
I've always been able to pay my mortgage. I've never had my hand out to anybody.
Right.
But I want more than that. The bell went off in my head when I said, I'm tired of being good. I want to be great.
Yep.
And, you know, I follow many, a lot of people in Utah know who John Madsen is.
Mm.
Former Oakland Raider.
Mm-hmm.
Now one of the fitness gurus in the world.
Certified badass.
He is a certified badass.
Mm-hmm.
He bought his wife and himself. He bought himself a Bentley and his wife a G-Wagon yesterday.
Excellent strategy, sir.
It was pretty fucking pimp, right? I follow John pretty closely. And he just has a strategy about being the very best you can be every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Do something today that's going to make you the very best.
Yep.
That's going to build your life going forward.
You have to.
Thrive. Don't just exist. You need to thrive.
Right.
And it's interesting, on my birthday, like, my brain exploded when I said, I'm tired of being good. I want to be great. You know, like, financially, we're in a really good spot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind saying we're debt-free, because we are.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about my debt yesterday when I had two guys in my kitchen installing my microwave yesterday. We bought a new microwave because my wife wanted a microwave that matched our appliances.
Okay.
So we bought a new microwave.
Okay.
Didn't need a new microwave.
Okay.
But we bought a new microwave, and we could, so we did.
Right.
And we're in line, really. I feel like we're in a really good spot to open a new business,
mm-hmm.
which we're really close to doing now. But what is good enough? Have you ever thought about
I
that?
Think
like
that, yeah, I think that what is good enough is freedom. I think what is good enough is not having to go from the podcast here and be at my desk in 90 minutes to try and get people to spend their money with me. Now I'm incredibly good at it, and so are you, but that's not freedom, right? That's
freedom.
The 9-to-5 grind. That's you know, the thing is, I think the thing that really like is interesting about where we're at is that we're working towards getting to the starting line of like freedom.
Yeah.
And I think that freedom for me is hey, like I want to be in a place where I can wake up and I can do whatever I want.
And this is going to sound like me complaining.
Yeah.
We are financially independent.
Yeah.
But we're not.
Yeah, we're reliant on a company to pay us.
All three of us, Team Monty, all three of us, because mm-hmm. it's only three of us. I keep a very small circle in my life, by the mm-hmm. way. But all three of us are financially independent.
Mm-hmm.
My wife makes really good money. I make really good money. You make really good money.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that we want for, right? The hard part for me is, what's the difference between being good and great? It's not enough for me anymore. It's not enough for me anymore to be financially independent. I want to be totally financially.
I don't
want to
be
free.
In a hamster wheel the rest of my life, man.
That's right.
I have no interest in that. I want the Lambos and the Porsches and the house and all that stuff. But that's not really that just kind of comes along with it once you get to a certain
I don't
point.
Want my,
it's not really about
I don't,
that.
I don't want my wife grinding for the rest of her life.
Yeah, you know, like
you know, I just want more. I don't know how to quantify it. And I'm rambling, I guess. But fuck, man, I want more. I want mm-hmm. I want more than I have now. I'm not saying I want the brass ring. I don't care what my neighbor has.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not comparing myself to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of being at somebody's beck and call.
Mm-hmm.
That's what and I love Yelp. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm. It's a great job.
But it's just come to me in recent times that I deserve more than that. I deserve more than making somebody up. Because I can easily say I've made Yelp millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Now, I've also made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I've made Yelp millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And I feel like I want to make myself millions of dollars now. I know how to do that.
Dude, the effort and time that goes into, first of all, let me say this. Outbound cold called sales is one of the most difficult jobs in the world.
Ever.
Simply put, it's one of the most difficult jobs in the world to do. And first of all, I think that there's a huge win in the idea that we're elite at outbound cold call sales for Yelp. Like we are one of the best, me and you are one of the best people they have in the company, in my opinion.
I'll always have a job.
Yeah. No matter what, no matter where you go, you always have a job. And that is the luxury and the reliability that comes with being able to do outbound cold called sales, right? But at the same time, I think for me, the way I always go about this when I have this conversation with myself or anybody else is like, imagine the amount of effort that goes into winning in sales. You got to make at least probably, depending on the day, you're making at least 80 to 100 phone calls every single day, and you're hoping to get told yes once a day, and you're going to get rejected probably 10 to 20 times the rest of the way.
At Yelp, that ratio is 1 for 80. They're only asking you to go 1 for 80.
Right.
Yelp.
And so my point here is that all that effort, all that energy, all the time that goes into doing that, yes, pays really well. Yes. Do I have to worry about paying my bills? No. Can I buy shoes? Yes. Like we can live the life we want to live, but that's not the point.
But we're not living the life we want
to
live.
Not anymore. We've come to that realization. I would tell you,
exactly
I would tell you
right.
5 years,
exactly
we had
right.
like a different mindset. Like I think that,
exactly
that
right.
what, I, and again, I know we tell the story all the time, but Yelp was just found on Indeed one day, like, you know, like applying to like 100 jobs and Yelp just happened to be the one that called back. And now we're here. And so, but my overreaching point here is that the time that it takes to do a 9-to-5, that's what the true loss is in working for someone else. Yeah, you're going to get paid. Like you'll be able to live your life. You know, you'll get your tax return every year. Everything's cool. But what about all the time that you don't get to spend on yourself with your family? Like that's the real thing. And that's what I think we're chasing.
Yeah. Anyway, it just, it is, I'm 48 now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 38 or 28 anymore, and I'm going to be 58. And you just realize, look where we were 10 years ago.
Very different place.
In 2011, 10 years ago, I want to say that I was unemployed. Sporting News Radio had gone out of business. We were living in, Westminster.
Yeah,
California. We were about to move to San Francisco.
Yeah,
and it just everything that I've been through since then, in the last decade, I won the biggest award that you can win in talk radio at KGO. Had my own show on one of the three-letter stations in this country. Like, I did all these great things. I moved to Salt Lake City, worked at KFAN, worked at ESPN Radio. Worked at Yelp, like all of these great things I've done. We bought and sold three homes. We've made a ton of money in real estate and lost a ton of money trying to make a ton of money in real estate, right? And now we find ourselves in this interesting spot 10 years later and at 48 years old, where my personal life is pretty good. I would say, and I feel pretty confident that my marriage is really good. Like, I feel like we have a really good friendship and relationship, and I do. I feel like we're doing really well. Knock on wood, I feel like Mrs. Monty and I are both very healthy. We were, it's funny, we were talking about life insurance with our insurance agent yesterday. And she was saying, well, what health issues do you have? Well, we don't have any. What medication do you take? None. Do you have high blood pressure or high cholesterol? I don't. Do you go to the doctor regularly? No, I don't. Do you work out regularly? We do. You know, like asking all these questions, other than I'd love to lose 20 pounds. I'm in really good health, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Like, I have all this going for me. Why would I just stand still? Like William's saying, William on Twitter is saying, you're talking about your life like it's bad. You have everything going for you. What is your point? It's not that I have everything going for me and my life is bad. I just want more.
And I think there's a real conversation around mindset with this conversation, because a lot of people will say, hey, well, you've got everything going for you. Like what else could you need? Oh, I don't know. Maybe freedom. Like, again, I know I keep saying the word freedom, but I really truly believe people don't get this. Like,
how many people are tied to their pensions?
Yeah. Like, I don't think people understand that last year and during the pandemic, we made more billionaires in this country than like the last 5 years. There was some crazy ass stat about it. And I was
in 2020, we made more billionaires than any other time in history.
Yeah. And I'm just,
that's incredible.
And I'm just sitting here saying, like, man, like, we got all these people that are billionaires. We got the Jake Pauls of the world on YouTube making all this insane money and fighting and doing what he wants to do, and it doesn't even really matter what you do as long as you want to be doing it and you're making money doing it. And so I'm just sitting here saying, like, damn, dude, like, why not us? Like, why wouldn't we try and go and do that? I mean, because imagine where we are versus where we could be. Okay, where we are, podcast, Yelpatory, go to sleep, podcast, Yelpatory, go to sleep, do it 5 times in a row, then sleep till 7, and then enjoy your short-ass weekend and go back to it, right? Where we could be is, like, podcast, work out, go check on the business, flip a house. Oh, by the way, I'm going to do all that while I'm driving my Porsche around. Like, you could be there. You just have to make that happen. And that's, I think, the point here. That's what I think people, like, you have to understand that's what the chase is.
And the other part is, how many people do not have a retirement?
I don't have a retirement.
More than ever. People right now today
don't, my generation don't have won't retirement. Have like Social Security or any of that. That's not.
There's no such thing as a nest egg anymore.
That ain't happening. That's over.
There's no such thing as an endowment anymore. Yeah,
that's over.
You have to go out and do the work anyway. That just impacted me. I've been thinking about it. It's really funny. After I was done dreaming about Ted Cruz last night, I literally dreamt about Ted Cruz almost all night long.
I started having second thoughts.
I was like, damn, dude, so my Apple Watch was dead in the middle of the night. My Apple Watch died. And that drives me crazy when my Apple Watch is dead. Cause I wake up, 10 times to take a leak anyways. It is nighttime pee guy, like waking me up all the time. So I had to pee twice last night because I drink a ton of water. My wife is a maniacal fool about making me drink water these days. So I woke up at 3 o'clock and I was like, dude, stop dreaming about this. And then I had a dream about John Manson's Instagram post. It's crazy. And John doesn't even know this conversation's happening.
Yeah.
But I had a dream about John Manson's Instagram post about him and his wife.
Oh, the one
buying those
sent
two
me.
Cars. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it's just been so heavy on my mind. And it's because we sent our business plan to our lender yesterday. Like, we have all this stuff going on with our business and trying to build this business that it's omnipresent in my life. And now I'm 48 years old. And I don't feel like I'm old, by the way.
You're not old.
I feel like the number in your age is just not indicative anymore. But the funny thing is, did you see that COVID lopped a year off of everybody's life expectancy in 2020?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about that?
You're not old, but you have a sense of urgency, which is good.
Yeah. I made more money in 2020 than I've ever made before.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I don't get it. All right. Let's talk about Lion Ted Cruz. And I specifically use that language.
Let me get this.
Because Donald Trump, during the 2015 presidential campaign,
mm-hmm.
leading up to the election of 2016, came up with that name for Ted Cruz, Lion Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And he insulted Ted Cruz's wife and all this stuff. Fast forward to 2021 and this huge catastrophe, what is now the deadliest natural disaster in Texas history.
Yeah.
And Ted Cruz makes a fateful decision yesterday to stand up in front of the media and explain why he chose to evacuate his family and go to Cancun, Mexico. Now, here's what Ted Cruz said. Afterward, I'm going to tell you what really happened.
So the question from the video on the cell phone was whether the decision to go was tone deaf. Look, it was obviously a mistake. And in hindsight, I wouldn't have done it. I was trying to be a dad. And all of us have made decisions. When you've got two girls who've been cold for two days and haven't had heat or power, and they're saying, hey, look, we don't have school. Why don't we go? Let's get out of here. I think there are a lot of parents that'd be like, all right, if I can do this, great. That's what I wanted to do. As I said, really, from the moment I sat on the plane, I began really second-guessing that decision and saying, look, I know why we're doing this, but I've also got responsibilities. And it had been my intention to be able to work remotely, to be on the phone, to be on internet, to be on Zoom, to be engaged. But I needed to be here, and that's why I came back. And then as it became a bigger and bigger firestorm, it became all the more compelling that I needed to come back, because our priority should be fixing this problem and making sure it doesn't happen again. And I didn't want all the screaming and yelling about this trip to distract even one moment from the real issues that I think Texans care about.
But yet it did. But yet it did. Shame. That's one of the greatest drops ever. But did you notice the yelling in the background?
Mm-hmm.
It is very simply constituents, people who voted for Ted Cruz. It's not Antifa. These are not paid protesters.
What?
It's Texans who voted for Ted Cruz, who stood up while he was doing this interview and were yelling resign in the background.
When you've got two girls who've been cold for two days and haven't had heat or power, and they're saying...
It's amazing. It is amazing what happened and what he's done
mm-hmm.
to Texas. So he claims it was his daughters. Oh, my daughters. They said, Dad, we're out of school. Can we just get out of here?
Yeah, I'm sure that's what happened.
Well, then why for the couple days before that trip, why was your wife texting
mm-hmm.
neighbors saying, hey, mm-hmm. we're going to take off to Cancun. Why don't you come with us?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get out of the freezing cold.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go somewhere.
Like that, his wife They have, and you know how they got her text messages?
Mm-hmm.
Their neighbors and friends were so pissed off at Ted Cruz leaving for Cancun that they sent the text messages to the New York Times.
Venom and vitriol.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
I'd be pissed too.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah.
That they did that. Unbelievable. Should he resign?
Yes.
Will he resign?
No.
Exactly right.
Nope.
No chance he will. And here's the issue. Ted Cruz is not sorry. Ted Cruz is not going to apologize. Ted Cruz never said, I'm sorry. He said it was a mistake, but did he ever say, I'm sorry?
I started having second thoughts.
When you saw people videotaping you in the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, Ted Cruz is not sorry. And the worst part of this is that the conservative Republican media in this country, you know, whether it's, you know, Ben Shapiro, you know, talking about how, what do you want Ted Cruz to do? I mean, he can do what he did, you know, or should be doing in Mexico as he can in Texas. That's not the point.
And that's not the case. That's not the truth, actually.
Absolutely not the case. You look at Sean Hannity defending Ted Cruz saying, good grief. He said on TV last night, good grief. Let the man have a vacation. I mean, there are people dying in Texas. In his district, where he is senator, the state of Texas is his entire landscape.
Yep.
There are people dying right now. And Ted Cruz chose to go on vacation. While a guy like Beto O'Rourke, who ran against Ted Cruz, who lost to Ted Cruz, was on the ground organizing volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Who was on the phone with the Biden administration, organizing relief.
Mm-hmm.
On the phone with the Biden administration talking about, hey, can we get generators?
Mm-hmm.
Because the state and the local government let them down.
Mm-hmm.
The state and the local government let them down.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz should resign. Ted Cruz is a disgrace. And it is, to me, it's an out-and-out embarrassment to the state of Texas that Ted Cruz is their one of their senators.
Yep.
There you go. Thanks for everybody on Twitter who said happy birthday. And by the way, Real Fat Jesus says you just jinxed yourself. Dude, you just set yourself up for a big hit. I was just being grateful. I was just, gratitude's never a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Until Monday, say happy birthday, fat ass.
Happy birthday.